First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. You can go for all the latest news and investigations we're doing, as well as listen to prior podcasts of this show. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please make sure you join our email newsletter list with thousands of subscribers. Understand, we will only send you an updated list on a weekly or a monthly basis. We will not spam your inbox on a daily basis like you typically get from other sites. And if you don't mind, join the RSS feed, and we will make sure you get a daily delivery of the radio show direct to your inbox. While you're there, if you are so inclined, we have a donate button there on LouisvillePolitics.com. We do rely on your generous donations to keep everything going, and we are in the middle of a fundraiser, so we could really use your help. And we also have a GoFundMe page as well that you can find at EdSpringsteen.com. Both are basically the same contribution, just through different sources. If you're so inclined, you don't trust the internet because of all them daggone hackers, we also have snail mail. If you would like to help us out, you can write to P.O. Box 58146, Louisville, Kentucky, 40268. And that your contribution will get here and help out as well that way. In the meantime, call in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in the listening queue, we appreciate it, and gals, of course, we appreciate it, but please hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And as always, the chat room is open and live right now. You can sign in using your social media accounts like Facebook and Twitter and have your voice heard that way. Time to start things off. I tell you, we're going to start with some Louisville stuff and move on to some other things. Obamacare is... it's taking a crazy turn. I really want to get to that and talk with you guys about that. I really want to get some feedback from you tonight. I know we've always got dozens of you guys in the listening queue live, and that don't count the thousands of podcast downloads. Of course, you can't call in. But I really hope you guys really want to talk on air tonight, because I tell you, when we get into this Obamacare nightmare, you're going to see just how what the Democratic Party really thinks of we, the voters in this country. In the meantime, Metro Council President Jim King had asked for assistance. I think it was back in January. He basically wanted an opinion from the Louisville Metro Ethics Commission on what the duty was of council members, essentially when it comes to voting on zoning matters that come before the council. And there's a reason for that, because Jim King continues to be brought up on ethics charges in everything that he touches, everything that he does. It is clear to many people, at least in my opinion, that Jim King is about as unethical as it gets. We have much to say about that and everything where it started from back in 2008. You can go to edspringsa.com. In the top left, there's a search box. And just type in Jim King, and you'll see all you need to know. But in January, Jim King had asked for an advisory opinion because he had been brought up on ethics charges once again for voting on zoning changes that his bank was making loans on. Clearly, that's a conflict of interest, and the Ethics Commission didn't do anything about it. But it continues coming up. So instead, the commission, after Jim King had requested this advisory opinion from the Louisville Metro Ethics Commission, the commission decided to make a determination instead that this was something that had to be determined by the Metro Council, because the whole zoning and voting and everything else was a matter of policy set by the Metro Council. According to Commission Chairman Jonathan Rickards, in a letter that he wrote, he said that a conflict of interest is any action, decision, or recommendation by a Metro officer acting in his or her capacity which would benefit the financial or private interest of a Metro officer or any family member. So in short, according to the Metro Ethics, a conflict of interest basically says if you're a Metro Council member, you are a Metro officer. If you're voting for something, you know, in your official capacity that's going to benefit your financial or private life, or any family member, yeah, definitely, it's a conflict of interest. Therefore, it's an ethical violation. Why nothing has ever been done about this, I have no idea. It's amazing to me. But now, because all this stuff continues to come up, there's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes that are involving Jim King and County Attorney Michael Connell that we'll be talking about in the very near future. But now this is up. So Councilwoman Tina Ward-Pugh, she's the chair of the, I guess, the Government Accountability and Ethics Committee on the Metro Council. That committee was having problems deciding how to change the language in the ordinance, you know, to get some accountability. And, of course, they make all kinds of amendments, and nothing's being done. They voted on this Thursday. The problem is this. You can go to Courier Journal for this. I'm going to go ahead and put that link into the chat room for you guys. Bear with me. The problem simply is this. We're getting sick and tired of Jim King and others continuing to benefit through these illegal deals. We're just tired of it. You know, his bank makes all kinds of loans to all these different entities, and he's voting on changing zoning to commercial, residential, whatever the hell he wants to, typically with people that he continually does business with through his bank, and he's making loans and making money. There's clearly a conflict, but apparently, according to Tina Ward-Pugh and her committee, the committee decided that one size does not fit all. And, you know, and then she went on to say that she is certain the 200-plus Metro officers are disappointed. And then she said, points out that we did make some amendments that we believe answer or clarify as much as we could without creating loopholes. And, of course, Councilwoman Barbara Shanklin, you know, has had her own share of problems with the Ethics Commission, kept her job by one vote, went on to say that everything, you know, to her, that everything was loosened and not tightened with this, and that the rules always change. And I agree with Councilwoman Barbara Shanklin. And here is why. Tina Ward-Pugh's committee, and I say Pugh, not Pugh, and I'm sorry if you guys take that offensive, but I think she's been pretty bad. But the committee did not accept one amendment, not one, that would have inserted the word intentionally into this ethics update. Not one. And Tina Ward-Pugh said people claiming their violation was not intentional could become the biggest loophole. Even the state version includes the word. Here's my problem with this, Councilwoman. I fought this crap at every level. I beat the best constitutional attorneys Kentucky has to offer. I beat Jim King. He got the highest fine in history because of a lawsuit I filed. But he didn't go to jail because he claimed it was an unknowing violation. Even though the Ethics Commission, through the Kentucky Registry of Election Finance, had plenty of evidence, even their own people said that he couldn't do the unethical things he was doing to get his daughter elected in 2008, said it was very disturbing. His own attorneys lied to him and said that it was okay, or Jim King lied when he told the whole world that. One of them lied under oath. But the reality is this: Jim King got away with buying an election because he hid behind this unknowing violation that he did not know, even though he was told over and over by the registry and everything else, emails, etc. In my opinion, that's what happened. So what Tina Ward-Pugh is basically doing here is saying, well, if we put the word intentional in there, then they can be found guilty, but they'll say it's an unintentional, so it's a loophole. Well, let me tell you something. Unintentional, unknowing, un-anything you want to word it is always going to be a loophole no matter what wording you put there. But at least if we put some wording in there to say that, you know, even the word intentional. All right, all we can basically do at that point is define the level of discipline, if you will, whether it's intentional or unintentional. There still has to be a level of discipline here. But by not even putting that in there to make this a drastic change in the language that will force accountability if you're knowingly, intentionally violating the ordinance as a metro officer, then we can attach a severe discipline to it. But see, this is just another way to protect those like Jim King, Tom Owen, in my opinion, and a whole host of others, that have created this problem. So we're still not addressing anything that's going to stop what's been going on. And the reality is that Metro Council members, including Jim King, primarily Jim King, in my opinion, are voting on ordinance things, zoning things that are going to benefit them in a financial way intentionally. They know it. I don't think anybody with common sense can sit here and say, well, let's see. If I own the bank that's making the loan and I'm going to make all this money on it, I see no problem with saying that it's okay to change the zoning, whether it's right or wrong, because I'm going to benefit from it. You know, if you own the bank, you know, if you own anything, you know, if you're the one making the damn loan, you know that there's a conflict of interest. That's common sense. This is doing nothing but trying to aid and abet Jim King, and it's one more reason that I always refer to Councilwoman Tina Ward-Pugh as Tina Ward-Pugh. She's done at the end of this year. Her replacement takes over in January. But we've got to get this one last thing in to protect Jim King and others that have taken advantage of this. And quite frankly, it's disgusting, insulting, and we're tired of it in Louisville. I will make this a big issue going forward. Another issue here in Louisville I think is a great thing for state retirement. A Louisville teacher, Randy Week, he's a U.S. history teacher at DuPont Manual High School, filed a lawsuit on Monday demanding that the Kentucky Teachers Retirement System do more to seek funding from the state and do a better job communicating the financial problems they have with the members. He wants the KTRS to support legal action against the Kentucky General Assembly if full funding for teacher pensions is not provided within a year. And I think that this lawsuit is a great thing. Will he get what he wants? What will be the changes? We'll let the courts decide that. But it does bring the courts into this whole retirement debacle that we have going on in Kentucky. Kentucky is one of the worst funded pension plans in the entire country. And that's at every level, through the KRS, the KTRS, all of these different levels. And it's time that somebody decided to take legal action just to force these buffoons into compliance. So I'm curious to see how that one's going to work out. Over the last week, of course, everybody knows that Alice in Wonderland Grimes, lost her election to Mitch McConnell quite handily. It was his second best election runaway, if you will, since he's been in the Senate. He beat her by about 15 points. So everybody's wondering about Alice in Wonderland Grimes. Grimes actually did her concession speech last Tuesday night, if you want to call it a concession speech. I thought it was nothing but a glorification speech to the local Democratic establishment. She didn't even mention Mitch McConnell. I thought it was very, very poorly done, very disrespectful. But a lot of people were wondering if she was planning on running for governor or any other office. And lo and behold, for the last week, she's been non-existent. We couldn't get rid of looking at her and listening to her for the last year, but now all of a sudden she can't be found. Supposedly, she's doing her job as Secretary of State now. I don't know anybody that has seen her car in the parking lot yet, so, you know. it's really amazing. What's really fascinating here, though, is Jonathan Hurst, her campaign manager in this Senate race, did a phone interview on Friday, and it's comical. You can go to Kentucky.com for this story. We'll put that in there, too. But it's really comical because he's actually setting the stage that, yeah, maybe she, her name will be on a ballot next year. Why? I would have no idea. But according to Jonathan Hurst, their emails had thousands of messages from Kentuckians who have asked her to run for all kinds of things. And when he was asked specifically if Grimes will be on the ballot next year for any office, Jonathan Hurst went on to say that decision comes later on. I can only say right now that she's involved in the process. Are you serious? Jonathan Hurst should have lost all credibility immediately as soon as Alice in Wonderland Grimes lost her race. His credibility was gone. And I tell you why. He kept running around with this phony internal polling to try to get Harry Reid to force the Democratic Senatorial Committee to keep spending money on Grimes. What kind of internal polling this buffoon was running that showed her within 1 or 2 points of Mitch McConnell most of the way through, and at one time actually leading Mitch McConnell, should be a source of embarrassment to himself, Alice in Wonderland Grimes, and the Democratic Party here in Kentucky. This guy should be done. He's actually out there apparently still involved with Grimes and still thinks that she's going to have some chance at a future election. You know, all indications are that the only election she'll be coming up that she'll probably run for is second term as Secretary of State. I doubt very seriously if she'll run for governor. She can't be that stupid, and she would have to be that stupid to try to run for governor. There's also a possibility that she's going to jump into the Senate race against Rand Paul in 2016 because Rand Paul will be focusing on a presidential election. I mean, these are all the daggone comical things that are going on with these people. You know, Alice in Wonderland Grimes has already proven, in my opinion anyway, she's dumb as rocks. You may not like the way that I say that. You may not approve of it. I really don't care at this point because she is dumb as rocks. She couldn't put together a coherent sentence or have a free thought of her own during the entire election. Did not, could not. She was reading from teleprompters and scripts like Barack Obama does. She was using Barack Obama's people and Harry Reid's people to run her whole campaign, so she destroyed any local Democrat here who could have helped her. So she's either too dumb to have an original thought, or she can't stand up for herself, one of the two. But either way, she's not ready for prime time in any way, shape, or form. And I personally hope that the election against Mitch McConnell taught her a lesson and got her out of politics. Let her continue doing the law. Let her continue representing her daddy. That's easy work. Maybe that's the only thing she's qualified for. I don't know. But it's very, very interesting that these people are actually trying to set things up for her to run for any office. If she does run for a second term as Secretary of State, I certainly hope that the people of this great state of Kentucky, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I should say, I certainly hope that we can appreciate the fact that she was already elected once to do that job, spent most of her time campaigning for another job, didn't even know where her office was in a damn building where the Secretary of State resides because she was too busy in California hobnobbing with rich millionaires or running to Washington to hobnob with Barack Obama and Harry Reid. If she couldn't do the damn job she was elected to do and spent all her time campaigning for another one, and oh, by the way, after she promised she was going to fulfill her term, I'm sorry. I just can't see how anybody could elect her for that same position or elect her for any position. There has nothing been truthful. PolitiFact said everything that came out of her mouth was basically a lie, and it's the worst lies they've ever seen throughout a campaign. So it's very disturbing. So apparently, according to Kentucky.com, Grimes is now focusing on her duties as Secretary of State and catching up on rest and family time. My bet is she's resting, of course. She probably is spending time with her family. Everybody needs that. But to think that she's doing any job as Secretary of State, no, she hasn't done it for this amount of time. Why would she start now? Moving on down the road, got an interesting story here concerning Joe's Crab Shack. Not in Louisville, though, folks. Not in Louisville. Let's not freak out and get crazy here, okay? But apparently, a couple by the name of Trista and Omar Montoya took their children and their nieces to Joe's Crab Shack in Colorado. And lo and behold, their children, ages 2 to 8, decided they wanted to have a kid's drink that was called a Shark Nibble. Now, this Shark Nibble is on the kid's menu, so it's a kid's drink. Well, about 30 minutes after the drinks were brought to the table, the kids had already started sipping on their drinks. Waitress came running over and told them that these Shark Nibble drinks for the children were made with the wrong ingredients. And then the manager came back with a tray of the right drinks and told the family they had accidentally put alcohol into these kids' beverages called a Shark Nibble. Now, the thing is, it's awful bad when you're trying to feed kids alcoholic drinks. I get that, okay? The manager said it was mislabeled. Apologized for it, you know. And Joe's Crab Shack is actually looking at this to find out how the heck this happened in the first place, which they should be. Of course, the liquor commissioner and everybody else is now involved. But what's fascinating to me, though, was they came back, they fixed it. I mean, there's no kid that's going to sit there and drink one child's drink. You guys know how big those are if you have children. Drink one child's drink and it has a shot of alcohol in it, and you know all of a sudden their whole life is ruined. And I'm not trying to make light of this because I think it's a very serious thing that Joe's Crab Shack did. But they do also have another drink called the Shark Bite. The Shark Nibble is the kids' drink. The Shark Bite is the one that has alcohol in it. The Shark Nibble has a blue shark, a blue toy shark that comes with it. And the adult version of Shark Bite comes with a black rubber shark. So somehow all of this stuff got mixed up in delivery. But they did notice it, you know, fairly quickly. They did go to correct the problem. But why this is a story to me is I'm looking at comments on this story. This story, of course, is everywhere. Every outlet is going over the story. But I'm looking at comments on this. And as dumb as this was for Joe's Crab Shack to do, there was no harm, no foul. They even called the paramedics out to check on the kids, and of course the kids were okay. But the parents are so angry about this mistake, as they should be, but it was a mistake. But comments from people are so hateful. They should burn Joe's Crab Shack down. You know, if I was these parents, I'd sue for millions of dollars, and I'd own Joe's Crab Shack. And it's all the hateful stuff that goes through there. That is what we've come to. 90% of the people who are commenting on this story are commenting angrily and saying that Joe's Crab Shack should be sued. Sued for what? We want to know what's wrong with this country and why things get so expensive. It's this frivolous type of mindset that everybody thinks they should be paid for nothing. For nothing. This was a simple mistake. It's not a big deal. And half of these same people, I guarantee you, are smoking weed in front of their children. How are you any different? I was talking with one guy earlier today. I know he has smoked weed in front of his kids under the age of 18. They're all over 18 now, but, you know, and I told him I wouldn't accept. That wasn't acceptable to me back then, so it never happened. But, you know, after I got involved, but well, to my knowledge, because I never saw it again. But, you know, the reality is it's this whole thing, let's sue everybody for everything. You know, you comp the people's meal. Maybe give them a free meal down the road or something, to prove that you're sorry. But it's an innocent mistake that needs to go away, and I just can't believe this thing has gone national, and it's building up steam. More and more people are getting involved in this story, you know, and everybody's sitting here trying to just totally destroy Joe's Crab Shack over one innocent mistake. And quite frankly, I don't like Joe's Crab Shack. I think it's a waste of time and money. I don't care for their food. I don't care for their menu. Quite frankly, I haven't had a good service experience when I've been at Joe's Crab Shack here in Louisville, so I just don't go. You know, so it's not like I'm trying to defend Joe's Crab Shack because there's some sort of a sponsor or I have a love relationship with him. I don't. but this was just an innocent mistake, and the national media is trying to turn us into something that's not there. But what we could and should be concerned with is our upcoming story. We're going to get into what we've known all along. Jonathan Gruber. Jonathan Gruber was hired by the Obama administration to help them. He was a technical consultant on the Obamacare train wreck that we know it to be. Everything that's coming out about him now is very disturbing, very true. It proves exactly what the Republicans were saying during the discourse of Obamacare, proves exactly what the American people have been saying since Obamacare was implemented. And I tell you, we're going to get into that story when we get back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Forget the caller numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For those of you in the listening queue, make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad and we'll put you on here as soon as possible. If you're so inclined, go to edsprinkston.com. We have a GoFundMe page set up here. Appreciate any contributions you can make. Rely on you. Go to wolfpolitics.com for all the latest news, past podcasts, etc. that we've got. And we have a donate button there as well. So give us a hand, help us out, folks. Yeah, I know we sound like the rest of the beggars, but we truly rely on individuals because, quite frankly, we do what nobody else does. We tell you the truth. In the meantime, going into break, you know, I brought up this new situation with Jonathan Gruber. Jonathan Gruber was hired by the Obama regime, and I do refer to it as a regime, as a technical consultant for Obamacare. And what's fascinating with this is now, less than a week after the election, all of a sudden we've got all this explosive video of Jonathan Gruber, you know, talking at different events, you know, and telling everyone American people were stupid, and since we didn't want transparency, that's how they were able to get Obamacare pushed through. Gruber said that lack of transparency is a huge political advantage, which I agree with. Then he goes on to say that the lack of transparency is a huge political advantage, which I agree with. But it does come as some sort of a paradox, since Obama ran in the first place on being the most transparent administration in history, which has proven to be untrue. But then he goes on and says, and basically call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever, but basically that was really, really critical for the whole thing to pass. He went on to tell the panel that, you know, the only way that they could get it passed was to make sure that the CBO, or Congressional Budget Office, did not score the Obamacare mandate as taxes. If they called it taxes, then it would have been dead. So they basically wrote everything, knowing this was a tax, but trying to make it sound like it wasn't a tax. They tried to write it as if it wasn't a tax, as if it wasn't a taxable mandate, which is why it ended up in the Supreme Court, and why Supreme Court Justice John Boehner was the deciding vote that said, oh yeah, Obamacare is legal as long as we call it a tax. Once it passed Congress, then it becomes a Supreme Court issue. I still don't know today what John Boehner's payoff was, but I'm sure there was one. I firmly believe that, and I don't care what people think about that. I firmly believe that. You know, to think that anybody could pass this train wreck and the Supreme Court upheld it, you know, at least John Boehner did the right thing and he did call it a tax, but I still have no idea to this day how this thing was able to pass. Well, it's interesting even more so because once Gruber was caught with the first video, he tried to apologize and saying, well, they were incorrect and I was speaking off the cuff. I mean, he said to the New Republic in July, I was speaking off the cuff. It was just a mistake. People make mistakes. Congress made a mistake drafting the law, and I made a mistake talking about it. Well, you know, there's a real major disconnect here for me. He's right. Everybody makes mistakes. Let's give you one, okay? Everybody makes mistakes. The problem is that wasn't the only time that Gruber went down that road. That was not the only time Gruber went down that road. He continued to do that. In October, he did the same damn thing. October 2013, I should say. He did the same thing. We have yet another tape that has just come up where he said that the Cadillac tax, which is a tax on the high-end health plans, he said it was proposed and passed because the American people are too stupid to understand the difference. His words. You know, he was specifically referring to the Cadillac tax as it was designed. He went on to say that the plan, instead of taxing policyholders, that you tax the insurance companies that offer them. If you tax individuals, it couldn't get passed because nobody wants higher taxes. But if you tax the company, it would be okay because Americans are too stupid to understand the difference. A tax is a tax is a tax, folks. If the company has to pay the tax, they're just raising your rates and making you pay it. Companies don't pay taxes. This was still an individual tax that they just reworded so that it wouldn't appear to be. That's what I hate about all these tax and spend liberal philosophies these days. Every tax is spent liberal. Well, let's just tax the businesses. Let them damn businesses pay the taxes. Why do we got to pay it? Because, guys, at that point, you're proving that Gruber is right. When you think like that, you're proving that Gruber is right. And I'm going to say Goober instead of Gruber, because to me, he is a Goober. You're proving him right when you make that philosophical statement. Because you are too stupid to realize that if the companies get taxed, the higher the company gets taxed, the higher your cost of that product is. The higher the cost of that product goes, the less that product moves. The less that product moves, the less people they need to make that product. The less people they need to make that product, those people go on the government dime. So the extra taxes that these companies are paying that we're really paying for at the cost of raised cost of production goods, we're not making it. It's a zero or a net loss effect. Any extra money that the government thinks that they have is going to be paid back in welfare benefits. And that's the problem with the liberal left. I'm not making this crap up, folks. That's how a free market economy works. So Gruber goes out there and tells the whole world that Obama and everybody involved with it lied. And he was part of the scam to do it. He was the scam to do it. He was hired to do it. I don't know how you can make this stuff up, and I don't know how anyone could sit here and not see exactly how much we sacrifice in this country based on lies from this administration. According to Senator John Barrasso out of Wyoming, he told Fox News today, you know, that this confirms people's greatest fear about the government. And then he repeated a sentence that we've been repeating for years. Remember, it was Nancy Pelosi who said you have to pass it first before you get to find out what's in it, and this is why. That is why Obamacare document was a couple thousand pages long, so they could hide everything in the language. That is why Nancy Pelosi, who was complicit in this whole scheme, told the whole world we have to pass it to see what's in it, because she didn't want anybody to read it, because she knew. And Gruber just confirmed every damn bit of it. And he's trying to lie, saying, well, I was just speaking off the cuff, it wasn't that big a deal. Well, when you say the same thing over and over, when you repeat the lie over and over, it becomes a big deal. You have made it a big deal. You have made it a big deal. And you have proven that that's your intent. Sorry. There's no other way around it. When you repeat the same behavior, it's a way of life. It's not a mistake. It's not something you can say, I'm sorry for, or I was speaking off the cuff, and I don't know why I said that. It's a pattern of behavior. That applies in every walk of life, folks. And now we know. And the funny thing is, you notice that John Yarmuth, our illustrious representative in the 3rd District of Kentucky, and all these other Democrat, liberal, socialist aren't commenting. Has anyone noticed that? Has anyone noticed that those people have essentially disappeared? I mean, you know, they were out there touting how great Obamacare was going to be and everything else. They were out there telling us that, you know, you could keep your doctor if you wanted to keep it, which we knew was a lie. Everything that the Republicans got chastised for the last couple of years have proven true thanks to Mr. Gruber. You guys can call him Gruder if you want to. I've got major problems with that. I really do. And I'm having a hard time understanding why nobody is going after the Obama administration, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, John Yarmuth, or any of these other Democrat socialists out there who pushed this down our throats and knowing that it was a lie. John Yarmuth was still lying about it 2 weeks ago before the election, because if this would have been out before the election, the House would have picked up even more seats than they did. Why is it that after the election, people want to start making these reports? Why weren't they doing this before the election so we would know the truth? You think your mainstream media doesn't have their own agenda and they're not bought and paid for? Guess what? You're wrong. They knew this. They hid it. They hid it. And they did it intentionally. So I guess we should say thanks to Mr. Gruder for bringing it to us. And I would assume that, Jonathan Gruder would know what he's talking about. I mean, he's an MIT economics professor, right? If he's an MIT economics professor, then he knows how the money works. He knows how the tax and spend game works. He knows what he's got to cover and what he don't. That's why he was hired. Oh, my goodness. And now he's been caught more than once. So all of this stuff that everybody is sitting here screaming and whining about has come to fruition. It shouldn't be a surprise. It really, really shouldn't. You know, we've got so many things going on. You know, I really want to take you here. According to America, AlJazeera.com, AlJazeera.com, you know, they started talking about local tax dollars and how they are all nothing but corporate subsidies. Well, now we know that Obama lied to us. Now we know his whole administration lied to us. Now we know all of these things, thanks to Grutter. Now we know that Obamacare was nothing more than an intentional tax that they knew was a tax that they lied about. Not that we didn't know it before, but they refused to admit it until a week after the election, right? So that's your mainstream news. But, you know, we're talking about the money and billions of dollars and how they go into welfare and all these other different things. You know, and I found a very interesting article today. Let me go ahead and put this in the chat room as well for you guys. Because I found it very interesting because it kind of talks to you and tells us what really goes on with corporate welfare. Right now, there's a proposed rule that are requiring local governments to disclose the total amount of property tax abatements that they give in any year. There's a private rulemaking body known as the GASB, or the Government Accounting Standards Board. What goes on, folks, is we have no problem. They have no problem at every level for governments to tell us and give us all these detailed information about how much taxpayer money they spend to help children, right? Or how much taxpayer money they spend to help the sick, disabled, elderly, poor, whatever. We've got all the stats in the world. Well, we spent X amount of dollars helping the sick kids last year. We spent X amount of dollars buying diapers for the elderly in the nursing homes. They brag about that. They brag about that. Okay? And we look at that. And we're like, wow. We really do good things with tax money. Well, what they're not doing is they're not sitting here and telling us how much money they're giving to corporations as subsidies, are they? No. In 44 states, folks, there are laws set up that let the county, city, and other local offices decide property tax reductions or exemptions to companies. And they granted them freely. In Kentucky, we are notorious for it. But there is no disclosure and no accountability. Imagine, we'll tell the whole world we gave $10 million to help sick, needy kids, but we won't tell the world we gave $10 million to General Electric. Why? Because we don't want people to know. So what's going on now is there's a big move on to force these local communities to finally get some sunshine in the process. I'm personally behind that. I think it's great because, quite frankly, nobody really knows how many billions of dollars that we're giving to companies are property tax dollars that fund our local governments, these property tax dollars. We don't know how many of that's going to companies overall, corporations overall. And it's very startling when you think about it. All indications are that there's about $70 billion a year leaving local communities and states for corporate welfare. When you think about that, $70 billion a year, that's about $900 a year for every family in America. Every family of four in America is $900 a year. Do you take home $900 a year? You guys listen to the show. I mean, I'm sorry. Do you guys take home that kind of money? You know, that works out to be more than 1 week's salary you're working for the government to give to a corporation. You're giving it back to your boss. And here's the deal. It's all by design that's supposedly to create jobs. We do this through job training programs for the company, like Ford. They do it all the time. They do these so-called job training things to put their people in a classroom to watch a two-hour film, and they get reimbursed by the state for it. I've sat on those films. Believe me, they're nothing. It's just a waste of time. People usually sleep or do whatever they got to do, but your taxes are paying for that. So if we look at the fact that corporate welfare is costing state and local governments $70 billion a year, or $900 a year for a family of four on average, we expect to get something back for that money. We expect that that is going to create jobs. You know? And we look at that and we're like, wow, that's why we do it, but we don't. The reality is that money doesn't affect jobs at first, in any way. Not really. According to Good Jobs First, which is a research organization in Washington, D.C., and you can go to any tax watchdog group you want to because everybody and their brother follows this stuff now, there are way less jobs than we are ever promised for our return for corporate welfare. And quite frankly, we lose a lot of jobs in the process. When a company uses corporate welfare to upgrade equipment and everything else that they're supposed to be using their profits for, that upgraded equipment eliminates a job once it's in. So a company that has 100 employees that upgrades and goes to, you know, all automation, for example, loses 100 employees. But that company's still there making money, right? And that's the thing. So we look at all of this. When we look at a lot of these jobs, a lot of these corporate welfare subsidies, if you look at the jobs that most of these people create, they basically are costing more than $1 million per job. If I walked up to you tomorrow and gave you $1 million, if I was to walk up to you tomorrow and give you $1 million and tell you not to go to work, you'd probably take it. You'd probably take it. Why is it our taxman is giving these corporations $1 million to create a job? Why not just give you $1 million direct if you're going to use that mentality? But it doesn't take $1 million to create one job in an existing company. Now, I say existing company because there are startup companies out there that are going to put a few $100 million into the economy to try to start a business, and they may need some startup help in the small business sector, and they may need these incentives. But when I look at folks like GE or Ford Motor Company or any of these primary big box employers, look at people like Walmart who are making profits out the butt. Sam Walmart would be rolling over in his grave today, Sam Walton, if he knew how greedy his own kids were. When you look at how they are benefiting their bottom line and making profits, that's the problem I've got with these corporate subsidies. And the funny thing is, since I mentioned Walmart, what they're trying to do now is get transparency in how these billions of dollars are being spent and where they're going. But the program they're trying to create to make that happen would not apply. You heard me right. Would not apply to retail stores like Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot. And what most people don't know about Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, those retail stores, what most people don't know is when you're sitting in line and they're ringing up your sales taxes, let's say you go to Walmart. Here in Kentucky, our sales tax is 6%. When I go to Walmart and I ring up a sale of $10, my bill is $10.60. Because 60 cents goes to those taxes. That's what I have to pay the state in taxes, right? Wrong. Because in many towns and everything else, the sales taxes collected at the cash register stay with the company. Walmart might be collecting 60 cents on a $10 bill for sales taxes, but they're keeping the sales taxes as a subsidy to stay there and create a job. That's tax money that's not going to schools. We want more money for education. That's tax money that's not going to police. That's tax money that's not going to libraries. Now, you think about this stuff, folks. You think about it hard. That is where the problem is. It's the corporate welfare that's destroying America, and Obamacare is just another part of that. They made the insurance companies rich. Paul, you're on the air.
You're talking about taxes again tonight. Oh, boy. Target-rich environment.
Always.
On the state sales tax, having done some retail business some time ago, I did have to remit a tax form to the state with all the sales tax that I collected, less a small amount. They actually allowed the retailer to keep a percentage for handling that. Okay.
Right.
But so in essence, Ed, not only are they getting a small payment for the handling and remittance of that sales tax, they're actually getting probably more than what they collect. You're concerned about them getting every dime back that they collect in sales tax. I think that probably some of these companies are getting actually more than what they collect. So
well, they really
it's a
are.
Double whammy. Yeah, it's a double whammy. And again, the vast majority of people out in the public are just blissfully unaware that these kinds of arrangements have been made. Okay. Let me clue you in on something else here, too. Tonight I took a journey down into the Portland area, which is where I am right now. I'm at a place called the Tim Faulkner Gallery. It's in some converted warehouse buildings down here. It's kind of an eclectic mix of stuff. It's a huge building, and I'm looking around, taking a look at all the different things that the city required. I'm going to tell you that whoever owns this building spent a fortune getting it code ready. Now, how does this tie into the tax question? You have mentioned that governments in general, and I'm going to pick on the city of Louisville in particular, will often grant not just abatements, but they'll actually grant, they'll give cash grants to certain businesses that go into areas that are economically depressed. The Portland area certainly qualifies as an economically depressed area. And Ed, I'm going to tell you, whoever spent money rehabbing this building, they spent a fortune. And I will promise you, if I looked into it, we will find some degree of government assistance. In other words, everybody in the taxing jurisdiction of Jefferson County has some of their money tied up in whatever arrangement this building's owner has made with the city of Louisville. So it's everything that you're saying about the government is basically a tool of wealth redistribution. I think every place we look these days, that case can be made.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, you just mentioned that in many cases they're taking back more than they collect the sales taxes. And that's the point. When you look at something, you know, let's take Walmart, for example. Walmart is one of the biggest subsidized corporations in America. They keep their prices low because they treat their employees like crap. If it comes to a point Walmart has to pull some baggage out, no problem. We'll just cut hours. We cut hours to avoid Obamacare. So they don't have to pay anything for that. They're keeping the sales taxes, if you will. You know, let's say their incentive is $10 million a year is what they're getting from the local community or the state, wherever they're getting it from. Their incentive is $10 million a year. That's their corporate subsidy. And they only collect $5 million a year in taxes. Then the state or the local community is sending them a check for $5 million. So you're absolutely right. There's a lot of companies that take even more than what they collect on sales taxes. But the problem is people don't get that. This all started out as a conversation about Obamacare and taxes. And one of the biggest things that they did to pass Obamacare was lie to the American people and manipulate and say we were too stupid to know the difference. So instead of putting language that says they were going to tax the American people, they put language that said they were going to tax the corporation. But they don't understand that the corporation isn't going to pay the taxes. Go ahead.
I missed the first part of the show. But since the first part of the show, you were dealing with the Obamacare as an issue, let me tell you something from that I just became aware of today that was directly related to your conversation. I got a notice today from my employer that my health insurance plan, my portion, my share, not their share, but my share for 2015 is going from $700 to $1,200, a $500 increase just for me, one person.
Yep.
My employer's share is staying the same, which means that the increase by the insurer is not being passed along, not being borne by my employer. And by the way, I'm not slamming my employer. My employer's share is $6,200. That's a pretty damn generous share, any way you look at it, okay?
Agreed.
So they're paying $6,200 a year. Now, and then next year, I'm going to have to pay an additional $1,200 on top of that. That's just for one person, all courtesy of the Obamacare tax. One person, Ed. One person. God's green earth, how do families with children who don't qualify for the government subsidies, how on God's green earth can they afford such a huge increase in making sure that they have health coverage when they need it?
Insane. You're absolutely right. And here's the problem. This is another thing that I've got a problem with. And this is the mainstream media intentionally ignoring news until after the election. They did it with Obamacare. We have known the schedule is out for Obamacare. All right. As soon as they pass Obamacare, they put out schedules for the next 2 or 3 years based on some increments that they control. For example, last year, or 2014, the first full year, if you were somebody who didn't apply and have insurance, then you're going to face a penalty of $95 per person or 1% of your income, all right, depending on which is higher, okay? So you're going to have to do that. So if you fail to get coverage this year, all right, they're actually going to take this penalty out of your tax refund, which I can't see. I still can't comprehend how they have the right to do that. But
it's a tax. But Ed, well, it's a tax.
But well, I
you know,
agree.
That's
the same. But
that's
the whole
authority.
Point. Forcing
yes.
you. But that's the whole thing. They might as well force me to go to Walmart and only shop at Walmart and never shop at Kroger or anywhere else because that's where they say I have to go or I'm going to get penalized. Well, the bottom line is, though, we knew this going in. In 2015, while the whole media was focused last year on the $95 figure for the first year of Obamacare this year, we have had Barack Obama circumvent his authority and make all these changes with the individual mandate and everything else that he has done, which is totally illegal. Congress has not held him accountable because you've got Harry Reid and the Senate involved. That will change in January. But they weren't telling anybody that starting January the 1st of 2015, that number now goes up to $325 per person or 2% of your income. So, you know, when you're talking about what you've been raised, you're right. But now you're talking about all these exponential charges, and if you don't pay it, tough, we're just going to take it out of your income tax. So they're forcing you into this, which is unheard of to me, instead of letting the free market work. This is stuff, I guess the bottom line is this. These are little things that's not new.
No, they're not little things.
I disagree
with it. Ed, they're not little things. Ed, the families that are being impacted adversely, these are huge things for them. They're actually going to have to make a choice between putting clothes on their kids' backs and making sure
they have health insurance.
These are not little things. These are big things.
I get that. All right. But the reality is this, though. These are things that we know, mainstream media knew, and when mainstream media was out there talking about the Obamacare as one of the issues throughout this election cycle this year, all right, and they were told about these kind of things. Even John Yarmuth. John Yarmuth sat in a debate on KET against Dr. Michael McFarlane, who knows firsthand how Obamacare works because he's a doctor that has to deal with Obamacare every day. Told the whole world about the same things we've talked about tonight that are true, and John Yarmuth lied through his teeth and said that he was lying and didn't know anything about what he was doing. Now that the election is over, the mainstream media, who had aided and abetted this type of behavior for the last year, said, oh, guess what? Obamacare really is a failure, and this is why. You've got CBS News, of all people, finally jumping on board and throwing a little hay up. You've got MSNBC. You still have hosts there that are finally starting to tell the truth. But that's because the elections are over and the Democrats suffered, but they could have suffered so much worse. I guess the point is this liberal agenda, this liberal media that continues aiding and abetting this liberal agenda is what's really destroying America. We have no fifth estate, and I'm getting real sick and tired of it. This is just one more example, and now they're doing even worse because they're still protecting the biggest corporate welfare clients, even the government organization, once again, the Government Accounting Standards Board, who want the whole world to know how many tax subsidies you're giving to Ford Motor Company, which I agree we should know, but they don't want to allow that to be included in retail stores like Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot, when that is where your real government corporate welfare is coming from. They're still hiding it. They're still lying to us, and they're using doublespeak, just like they did in Obamacare. They're using that doublespeak to make us believe that they're doing something meaningful. And Jonathan Gruter proved it when he said the American people were too stupid to know the difference on at least three different occasions that we have found so far in the last year. It's insulting. What is it going to take? Are the American people ever going to wake up? We made some great changes across the nation this time, but that wasn't because the Republicans were so good. It was because Barack Obama was so bad. Are they going to wake up and force the Republicans to do their job, even if it's a tough decision for voters in the next election? Because I'm not sick of it. What do you think? Well, looks like Paul is gone. Folks, I tell you, I get fed up with the regime. I get fed up with thinking that my America, this free republic, that I served has turned into this. I get greatly disturbed by that. Yesterday was Veterans Day. And I want to give a huge shout out from the bottom of my heart to each and every veteran out there in our active duty military who are still fighting the fight somewhere around the world today. I know your pain. I've served. And I'm proud to be a veteran. But we all know in this country that we have done greater things than we're doing now, and we can do greater things again. Let's hold this government accountable. Let's force the Republicans who now have the mandate to do better. Let's force them to do just that, better. For my fellow veterans and active duty members around the world, Godspeed to you all. Keep up the fight on the shore you're on, because there's some of us here that took that oath that you took that will continue to fight right here on the shores of the good old USA against the establishment that continues to try to tear us down. Have a great night, folks. I'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Enjoy your evening. Take care.